Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 499. That's right. We're getting close to the big 500, which is crazy.
Yeah, because, I mean, everybody remembers how big the celebration was from 400. I mean, 300 was huge. 200 was definitely big. 100 was probably the one we were like, we're never going to be able to repeat such a big gala.
See, that's what most people would do, by the way. My name is John Morgan. Cold coffee is with me. We'll go through that formality. But see, that's what most people would
do.
They would
say regular
they would celebrate on every 100. But we always knew. We said, look, once a week. I mean, if we do one a week for 9.5 years, we'll get to 500, and that's
then
when we'll celebrate.
We'll do something.
That's when we'll celebrate. You know, this UFC 300, yeah. 200, 100, they jumped the gun, bro. You know what I'm saying? You got
that's
a little
easy.
Too excited.
That's easy work.
Get to 500, you know what I'm saying? Then you get to celebrate.
That's good. So whatever we have to do, we won't have to replicate it for 500 more episodes 1,000. For another 10 years.
I mean, 1,000. If once we get to episode 1,000 in another decade, we will live up to it.
Holy cow.
It's crazy, man. It is crazy we're getting that close to it.
I mean, what's funny, you think about, you know, the average lifespan. So,
I'm just saying
like 10 years. We could have these, if it's every 10 years, we can easily have 4 or 5 more of these. Before, you know, will we be doing it when I'm 100?
Yes. You know what I really wanted to think about today? I was like, man, as I go over to Cold Coffee's house, I want to sit down. I want to talk about death.
But when we're 100, I'm 100, so you'll still be 90-ish. You'll still be kicking it young and just out and about, blue shirting it.
Oh my gosh, oh man, all right, well listen, next week will be episode 500. I think we're still gonna we want to try to do something live, right?
Yep.
We've talked about doing that over the years. We'll do something live. We just got to pin down the schedule. Obviously, you do have a work schedule that you have to stick to, which I'm sure you're waiting to hear from on what the schedule is. I, on the other hand, don't have a work schedule, so I'll just wait to hear when you're free, and we
is
will
that a humble brag
we
right
will
there.
No, it's just the reality.
But we will. What we decided, we'll let you guys know on the Patreon channel, since I think we're gonna put the link on there. So if you haven't already signed up to become a member, do so by then.
Absolutely.
Do so by then. So we'll keep you guys posted. Yeah, well, just once we get it set, schedule maybe the day or two before. Once we get it down, because I haven't seen my work schedule. The event is on the road, but it is overseas and is Abu Dhabi, so the time difference. I might not have to do the normal sort of things, but hopefully that doesn't mean I have to.
Probably would be like Abby would be helping out, right?
I hope so. I hope
people have
to wake up in the middle of the night or do some early morning crap, you know, just to do it. But
it's been a while since I've been over there, but I'm trying to remember. I think it's almost exactly opposite of here. It's like 12 hours difference between here. So it's literally like the opposite. So I think working with the European crew would probably be the better way to get
thanks,
that
thanks, Abby.
Done.
Yeah, right now it is 2:55 in the morning, Abu Dhabi. So, yeah, it is roughly 11 hours ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
You don't have to deal with that.
No,
so
thank you.
We'll get you all sorted out on that. Obviously, a big event next week that we'll be talking about as well. A big fight card I'm looking forward to. But a lot going on this week. Before we get to today, I was not at today's media day today because I was hosting the U.S. I'm probably never going to be at a media day again. Yeah. Let's just be
there
honest.
Weren't many people at the media day today. If you didn't listen, there were three of us, and two of us asked questions.
You and Amy, and then Alex Buchanan was
No, Steven from
UNLV.
From Full Send.
Oh, from Full Send.
Yeah.
Man, so even less people.
Less. Alex, I think, decided not to go last night, and then it was funny. At the end of the night, he was packing up his tripod, and he, like, snapped his tripod, and he's like, well, now I'm definitely not coming.
Snapped his tripod?
Yeah, I think he closed it. It's not the most sturdiest one. I think he was in a rush to get out after the event, and he just happened to snap, and then he's like, I'm not coming. So I was like, okay, well, there's one less tomorrow. But I thought we would see more, but I think a lot of people I don't know if there's a boxing thing or something else going on, but people are just sort of spread out and paying
attention to
other stuff.
It's a lot going on.
Look,
hey, let's be
honest. PFL
stuff's going
on.
A lot of people are going to be dialed in on PFL this week.
Even
people that didn't make the trip over to Saudi Arabia, you're still going to be processing stuff. Yep. That's probably going to be your bigger traffic draw and the bigger event.
I know my team, you know, when they were talking about the things that were coming out today in the writing, there was also stuff going on over in Abu Dhabi,
Saudi.
They were doing the face-offs. They were doing all kinds of other stuff. So obviously everybody has their eyeballs on that one. I mean, that's the fight everybody's talking about, and that's it. You know, and it's a really cool – it's actually a really good card.
Really good card.
So, I mean, I don't doubt why people aren't paying as much attention. This is a good card, and we'll go into it further, but I mean, I get it why today, when it's a media day, the people are like, okay, you know, I'm just not as interested as whatever is going on over in PFL.
It was funny. One of the reasons I was not at the media day today was I was hosting USC Unfiltered. Jim Norton was out, so I was hosting with Matt Serra. I love hosting with Matt Serra just because that dude is a ball of energy. You know what I mean? It's so fun to be around him. And we had a couple. We had Darren Elkins on there, and we also had Kyler Phillips as well. So, you know, a couple of really good guests on there. So that was fun. But it was funny to know that, like, we're not going to mention anything about PFL at all. Which, I mean, obviously, like, the PFL is not going to mention the UFC on there. Well, they do mention the UFC a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, UFC is definitely not going to mention PFL in their, you know, their official podcast. But I thought that was a little funny because, not that I have any problem with it, and I do think this UFC card is actually probably more fun than people are giving credit for. Like, I like a lot of the matchups on here. We'll talk about it. But it was kind of funny to know that we're going to be sitting there for an hour. Like, we're not even going to pretend like that's happening over there.
I mean, I get it. I think if it was just an MMA podcast, you have to talk about it. You have to. But, I mean, if you are literally UFC studio, you know, UFC land, like, you're not going to bring it up. Even when this question sort of got broached a little bit last night, talking about whether Dana, I think he was asked whether he was going to sort of watch the fight or if he's whatever. He's like, no.
Yeah, I did say he was. I think somebody asked, what did, because I was watching that, what do you think about Francis Ngannou's PFLW? And he's like, why would I care?
Yeah.
And it is true. It is funny. Like, I know what we're doing in there. Obviously, I've been in that press room a lot. We're trying to get clips. We're trying to get quotes. But it is funny sometimes when you think about it, like, why does the UFC boss care about what PFL is doing? Like, why are you really asking that? And I'm not taking that as an insult on whoever. Well, I don't even remember who it was that asked, because it's a fair question.
Yeah.
The guy used to fight for you.
You
had very high, some back and forth degree. Yeah. You know, so I get it. It's a fair question.
Yeah.
But it is funny. Like, what do you really expect at the end of the day? Like, I'm just bummed out, man. I'm really upset that we couldn't come to an agreement, and I'm not sure we can really say we have the best heavyweight in the world anymore, considering the lineal champion walked away. So that's you know what I mean.
That would be an interesting answer. That would be him. I don't think anybody asked. Looking at who was in the room, I don't think anybody was throwing out anything trying to get like I got Dana to go in on the PFL sort of thing. But I think, if anything, they probably were thinking, well, maybe Dana would do like what he's done when others have left the organization, either retired, went on to boxing or other stuff, to say, you know, hey, you know, I wish the best for him. I don't know much about it, but I wish him the best or whatever. And it's like, if you thought that's what you were going to get,
definitely didn't get that.
That is not what was going to happen.
That's fair. That is fair, because he's done that a couple times, right?
And he has, you know, and we've
who
seen
supported
that.
Francis Ngannou more than me?
Yeah. That would have been a great answer. That would have been a great answer. I'm like, Dana, can you clarify how you did support him?
Oh, man. All right, so that was fair. Well, okay, one thing that did come out of last night, the rankings thing.
Yeah.
Interesting. What's your thoughts?
We got some interesting answers today because Amy brought it back up on some of the fighters, and some did go a little bit hard.
A lot of the fighters, I heard she asked everybody, a lot of them were like, yeah, they need to redo those things.
Charles Johnson was one that I actually just cut a clip from it, and he even brought up the whole fact about Kai Isakura coming in, and, you know, even though he did just win a belt, or his last fight was for a belt over in Rizin, he comes over here and he's going straight into a title fight here, and they're just like, you know, a lot of guys have came into this organization as a former champ or a champ in another organization.
Yep.
That doesn't matter. You know, you got to earn it, and I almost see it like as a sign of like disrespect that they're doing whatever. But on the other hand, they're also praising the matchmakers for what they're doing and what they've kind of done for the division. But at the same sense, they're like, these rankings don't make any damn sense to me. Like, it's all BS. But, to hear Dana sort of just go in and just really be like, you know, something's got to change. This is just ridiculous, and I'm not sure what it's going to do, you know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it'll work in his favor. Maybe it won't. I mean, like, if you get into it where – I think the whole thing with the medium, with the journalists and stuff, it was at least supposed to on the front side, it was supposed to be a non-biased third-party people group that is making these decisions, so it's taking it out of the UFC, so they can't manipulate the rankings to go their favor to set up matchmaking.
And I did like what Dana said. There's guys I don't like. There's people I do.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He's like, that's why I don't want to have anything.
Why he didn't want to do it himself.
Right.
Yeah, because
he's like, I don't want to do this. There's people that I don't like and people I do like. I don't want to have any say. So I like that he said that.
I thought it was good too, because I know some people sort of shat on Carlos for asking it. They're like, why would this person ask a UFC, why would the UFC isn't doing it themselves? I mean, I understand I think what his point, when he was trying to say, like, you guys know these fighters better than anyone else. You know when somebody's injured, when somebody's dealing with stuff. Maybe move them up and down and accordingly so that when they're placed in there, they're ready to go, and it makes more sense. But on the flip side, I don't think he realized that, you know, the complete downside if you actually have an organization that's able to rank and then pick and choose. But
yep.
What the UFC's been able to do anyways is they – right now, they're not held to the rankings anyways.
Yeah.
So they disregard it anyways.
It wouldn't really impact business whatsoever.
Yeah, so it's like they're already manipulated the rankings by picking their bookings.
That is true.
You know, because and that's why a lot of people, right, tell me if I'm wrong, with like the Ali system and all the other stuff, you know, the boxers are supposed to, you know, how the boxing, the rankings, you're supposed to fight according to like the rankings. So like, you know, one should be fighting two, three should be fighting four, or something around those particular lines. One shouldn't be fighting number 10.
Right.
The belt holder shouldn't be fighting number 7.
All the sanctioning bodies basically have like mandatories where you have to fight the number one guy or you have to give up the title because you're not fighting the number one guy. Then you have sometimes, you can bounce every now and then, but when you have mandatory defenses, you have to defend against number one.
I mean, and so it's like already the UFC is kind of like disregarded the rankings anyways. But at least now, I mean, I guess they've just finally reached the boiling point where they're like, not that they even seem to care about it. So that's why it's a little interesting why they're so frustrated to the point that they feel as he needs to go away from it. And the last, you know, because the last couple ones, like, I forget who the other one that was, you know, obviously the Jones and the Goat is a different one.
That's
not particularly a ranking. That's just a pound for pound and like whatever. But
he's not a fan of the Max Holloway not being over Justin Gaethje when he knocked him out.
Yeah.
And obviously this one is the funny one that it's Khalil Roundtree losing of all things. Yeah. Like, well,
he was like, he was winning most of the fight until he got knocked out.
He was winning until he lost.
He was winning until he lost. You know, so guys, obviously he should be number one.
And and at the same token, Alex was losing until he won, so he should come down.
There you go, Dana. And then, but then that's when he'd be like, but you saw he knocked him out. The knocking out erases all the other part,
except for,
you know, the fact that he doesn't move. But, I mean, I would not be sad seeing Khalil move.
I actually had Khalil at number 6 even before the fight. So I actually had him already higher anyway. So I don't disagree with the sentiment. It's just funny the ones that he latches on to and the ones that he picks. Because there have been things like, you know, I think Chelsea Chandler, maybe Nora Dumont as well, were like both ranked in women's bantamweight before they ever even fought at women's bantamweight. So it's like,
I mean, but have you seen Norma?
What? She should just be ranked anywhere, right?
I'd put her towards the top, regardless.
But it's funny, but it's funny the ones that he latches onto, and I get it. Like, everybody's gonna have their examples, whatever. But I am interested to see where it goes. I actually listen, and it's funny because I have some people. I have had some people like tag me on social media, like, aren't you tired of him like trashing you like every time? And I'm like, well, I mean, I don't disagree with them that the rankings panel that we have, like, I don't even know who the people are. And I don't mean that in a mean way or a rude
idea.
Way.
Outside
but, like,
of you, and then like one other guy that does show up, and I don't want to throw him on the bus because I didn't even know that he was on the rankings. There is one other guy that's at the rank at the UFC events a lot of times.
Spare him that.
Yeah.
Spare
I'm not
him
going
that.
To. I don't know anybody.
I don't know anybody.
Because forever, Junkie never took part of it. So I never took any care to really find out who the rankings is because it doesn't do anything with my job. Doesn't affect me. So why do I care? You know?
Right.
So to hear him, but he keeps coming down and he's like, the ranks of this. And I feel him looking at all this. I'm like, bro, it ain't me. Like, take that acid and throw it on somebody else. Not me, bro. So, I mean, I'm interested to see what this person that he was talking about that has this plan that wants to sit down with him and tell him something that could revolutionize the rankings. I imagine there's got to be some sort of computer element in there.
AI
is not the right term.
Yeah. It's not the right term, right?
Some sort of computer-learned, trained model or something.
I think there should be.
I think a computer model with
oversight.
That's it.
With some human oversight.
That's it. That's got to be it. I think you can't, just like when we said before, when you're only looking at the numbers and pure numbers and you don't take the performance fight like over each other or whatever,
right.
Or maybe say you have one, or even say you have a, we had rematch, you won one, I won one. Who's the computer going to put higher?
Right.
You know, then maybe they have to do other formulas. So I'm sure there's going to be some building and it'll be something that changes overall. But, you know, there are, and Dana was right when he said, he's like, of course I have biases. I don't want to do it. He's like, but so do you.
Mm.
So do you all. And everybody does. Everybody has their ideas. I mean, like, I think people would be lying if they didn't say, oh, man, you know, I really like this guy, but, man, sometimes he just drives me fucking crazy.
Right.
there's your a lot of it's just unconscious biases that come out.
I don't like his style, or I don't.
There you
whatever
go.
It may be. Like,
he's boring to me.
He's boring to me, but I don't care. Yeah, he wins. Yeah, he's not on the 9-fight win streak, but I can't. Nah,
the computer don't care about that.
Exactly, and I don't think I think that's exactly what. That's why I think a computer would be valuable, and a computer can weigh everything equally, and you know what I mean, where it's just there is no bias whatsoever.
And then
it's
you probably don't need a huge amount of people to oversight it. You know, maybe it's a small committee, or maybe it's even, it should be more than one. It should be more than two or three. There should be something where there's at least a few, you know, a handful of people maybe that go through and make sure that all the I's are dotted and, you know, the T's are crossed, and make sure that the right input is being, right data is being input, but then also look at the results and say, okay, let's look at these results. Let's make sure that this is potential, that it's good, and
like,
then go from it.
Like, I think, you know, the computer comes out with the rankings, and you look, and you're like, well, wait a minute. Six just beat number five to get there. We need to switch those two. You know what I mean? Like, something like that, right? You know, the computer came up with it. Yeah, but that guy literally just beat that guy. Okay, let's switch that. You know what I mean? Like, little tiny things like that. I think as long as you have little stuff like that, I think that should be the way to go. Ideally, I think a media poll would be good if it had a greater portion of the media, of the educated media.
How many
media.
People are actually in the rankings panel?
I don't even know anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure. I think it was like 20 at one point or something like that. But to be honest with you, I don't even know.
The like, who was even sending out the invites for it? Like, how do you even become part of that?
That's a good question, because I know, and I don't think he would mind me saying this, like, I know Alex Buchanan has said that, like, hey, I'd love to volunteer. I'd love to be part of it. Like, I am passionate about the rankings, and I would like to help with them. And I know they haven't really, like, budged on getting him involved.
I wonder. Well, I mean, also, too, I mean, like, some, I mean, and this, I don't mean this as a slight to Alex or a lot of people. Some people are way too close to fighters to be involved in the ranking system, because some are, you know, if you're considering yourself like your best friend and blah, 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 and you get flushed when somebody's fighting, you probably shouldn't be ranking where they fit in the thing, because I don't think you can be purely unbiased enough to rank them equally against an equally talented person without having your own heart kind of step in. That's just natural.
This would be, let's say, for instance, this, I think this would be an easy scenario without, like, trying to get into people's personal politics or anything like that.
Yeah.
If Oscar Willis, Hot T, was taking part in it, could he fairly rank Dan Hooker? The man just cornered, you know what I mean? The man just cornered him in a fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in Spain. No, it's not
like
going to be
able like to think that people could, but I mean, like, we're all human beings. It's human nature. You want to support your buddies.
Right.
Because, I mean, one, you'd feel like shit if you didn't. So I think there's got to be some level of something.
Would I put CM Punk at first at middleweight? I might.
I mean, with reason. I mean, you saw his performances.
I might do
People
that.
People were dumbfounded after watching him.
That's
my
guy. I'm just telling you where he was. He was in the wrong weight class at welterweight, but if he makes his return at middleweight, I'm telling you, I put him right up there at the top.
You know, those weight cuts were hard.
They were hard.
They were hard.
Fair.
They drained him.
But you're right. The personal biases, I think that can be a problem.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, that doesn't mean that people shouldn't, you know, get in the rankings because they happen to be friends. But, you know. You know, some people are friends with a lot of these fighters. I don't know how they can, you know, really in good conscience say that they're not completely unbiased. And that's natural. And if you can't be completely unbiased in, you know, how you carry yourself in the sport, you probably shouldn't be ranking. But, I mean, I guess that'd be something if it actually was part of their livelihood. Even when Dana gets this all done and squared away and he's like, oh, my gosh, I'm happy. I can look at these rankings and I'm not getting sick to my stomach. Will it change anything?
No.
At all?
Not a thing.
That's
They'll
the
still
thing.
Make the fights they
They'll
want
still
to
make. They'll still make the fights they want. You know, so I'm like, what's the big deal? I get it. If you're well off and you probably have a lot of money and you know that you could fix things because you have the means to do it, you're like, I'm just going to fix it because I can. Will it really change anything? No, but
no.
I'm not at least pissed off when I look at these rankings. And more power to them. I mean, they're going to jump there. And it's sticking it to the media. If anything else, it might be another just point to just say, you know, you guys leave me shaking my head way too often, you know, so I'm just going to take one of the things that you guys are proud of that you get to do. I'm going to take that away from you.
But that's not fair because nobody does it. Nobody. I'm like the only one that does it.
I don't know. I don't
you know what I mean.
I don't know this mystery organization. This, you know, right next
it's a
to
lot of, a lot of cloak and secrecy.
I know
and
it's like, it is. You know, I'm just like, what, you know, you have to get sworn in, and then if you tell somebody on the rankings team, they're gonna hunt down your kids
first.
Or
first
something.
Rule of rankings panel is don't talk
about
rankings panel.
You know.
All right, listen, real quick, speaking about CM Punk, I kind of teased it last time, but I can't confirm. He will be back in action for the first time since June this weekend at CFFC. So I'm flying out early tomorrow morning. I'll be in Philadelphia Friday night for CFFC 137. Great, great title fight. Anthony DeLeme, Bo Semeniego, vacant featherweight title on the line. That was the title, of course, that Jose Perez vacated when he signed with the PFL. Now his training partner, Bo Semeniego, is trying to win the title. And then Anthony DeLeme, a undefeated Sarah Longo fight team fighter, is on the opposite side of that. Got to talk to Matt Serra about him today as well. So an absolutely stacked card. And if you're a fan of CM Punk on the microphone, as I am, he will be back in action this Friday night. Good old Phil.
Phil in Philly.
Will they call him the one Phil, one book? I don't know. There was a speech or something about
it. Is that a wrestling thing?
I don't know. Yeah, it was a wrestling thing. I don't follow that enough. It's funny. I know CM Punk, and I have like nothing about his wrestling.
What's I have that? a wrestling book that a PR company had reached out and said, "Hey, do you ever cover wrestling? There's a guy that wrote a book about wrestling and like the WWE or whatever."
What is it?
It's called.
Oh, look at this. He's made his way over. He's having the staff
deliver. The six pack.
The six pack.
Some
what
guy
is this?
On the road, on the open road in search of WrestleMania. This guy's name's Brad Balukian.
This is a much different book than if I had written a book called The Six Pack.
And supposedly, like, he traveled around and he followed wrestling. And so he talks about, like, the whole wrestling scene. And I told him I would actually give it a read and sort of talk about the thing. But
is this, just coming in?
Yeah, it just came out.
Oh, nice.
But I don't really know the guy, but I'm not sure if he was actually part of the scene or whatever. But it sort of tells his story. He was, you know, fell in love with wrestling and followed it around or whatever.
Foley is on the back corner. Obviously, that was the famous Mick Foley. He says, "Brad Balukian has created something unique in the crowded genre of the pro wrestling literature. Part wrestling confessional, part a series of eye-opening road stories, Balukian writes of the joys and dangers of meeting one's idols as he peels back layers of some of wrestling's greatest stars, revealing the real men within." Mick Foley did not say that, but he might have.
He's like, "Bro, can I just put your name on the back cover?"
But it sounds interesting.
It sounds interesting, right? So I told him I'd give it a read, and once I got through it, I'd mention it on the podcast. So it's already got one mention on the podcast.
I shouldn't say that, by the way. I write a lot different than I talk, but yeah. I've heard Mick Foley talk.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk
like so it'd be interesting. But, you know, it's just funny because it made me think about when we started talking about wrestling and stuff, and I don't know if this guy is anybody in the wrestling scene or anything, but I was like, I figured after I read it, I was going
to
let you read it because I know you have an interest in the wrestling stuff.
So you and I are not "quote unquote" pro wrestling guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, it was the last time I actively like made sure I watched the shows.
When I was a little kid, I stopped watching when I was like 8 or 9 years old. When I figured out it was scripted, and I was bummed and I was disappointed. Yeah. Obviously, my working with CM Punk for the last 5 years has kind of reinvigorated, I guess, my interest in pro wrestling, although I really just only watch when he's out there. But we do know that the WWE is coming to town in April for a week-long festivities. Are we gonna find a way to partake a little bit, maybe?
I mean, I wouldn't mind going for maybe a night. I don't know if how many events is that?
I don't know. I don't know if it's the whole week or not.
I think
so,
if it's
right?
Maybe multiple promotions. Like, would they do like an NXT night?
That's
one
what
night,
I'm always.
Like a WWE one night?
And what I heard last year, because last I think it was last year, it was in Philadelphia, because that's when we thought we were going to go. Because obviously the whole CFSC crew is out there, but he got hurt. But I remember like 2300 Arena, where we do a lot of our CFFC events. They were saying that like that building was going to be used like every single night for like independent wrestling and stuff like that too. Because like I guess the entire world just kind of descends upon like that week. It's like the biggest, you know, meeting of everybody, and so there's just all kinds of stuff happening. I don't know.
Holy cow.
I mean, we probably wouldn't go out and do like independent stuff, but
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing some. I mean, if there was nothing else going on, I mean, that sort of fits the timeline. If looking at the Apex, man, some of the stuff they were doing today, they were doing a bunch more stuff. I felt like taking pictures. I was like, "Oh, I'll see it tomorrow or whatever." But they were doing much more work. They're actually inside that little section of the walkway to get to the normal weigh-in room, where they've started building those walls. Mm-hmm. They were on a lift going up into the ceiling. I'm not sure what they were installing in that particular thing, so they must be running something to the top of the building. The walls on the outside are getting taller, but you figure if they're coming back in April, So that's 5 months.
Oh, they'd love to have it in place by then.
They'll probably put NXT. I bet the NXT.
Oh, you have to put something in there.
NXT, I guarantee, will come back to the.
You're 100% right. Why didn't I think about that? You're 100% right. That is exactly why the time frame is what it is.
Certainly makes sense.
Has to be.
Has to be. And then they'll probably do something like WWE down at the T-Mobile Arena or something like
that. Yeah.
Unless they try to do something at Allegiant or something, that'd be.
Well, that's where the big thing is at Allegiant Stadium.
Is it really?
Oh yeah.
There you go.
Amazing.
They could take over the town.
They're going to.
I mean that's what's cool about, you know, even when like the unlike the F1, the FU1 that they said was maybe like $250 million economic impact. I saw that somewhere and I was like, I still don't really even believe that, even though they tried telling us it was gonna be closer to $1 billion or whatever it was.
There's no way.
It was ridiculous. But there have been some changes to that. Like, so last year they built a bridge over one of the particular things that spanned both sides. And it shut down, and that's what a bunch of people bitched about. This year, look at me just sort of transition to F1. They only did half of it, so some of the buildings or businesses are still able to get to. But going back to like the WWE, this feels like if you're going to Allegiant, if you're going to T-Mobile, and you're going to the UFC, and you're doing other stuff, I feel like we will see an economic impact here in the town.
Have to.
Whereas F1. It shuts down. We're losing. We lose money when that shuts down against the businesses.
How about right now, if this is your very first ever time to Vegas, and you're like, I want to go see the Bellagio Fountains. I mean, that's one of the icons of the city is the Bellagio Fountains.
Go into the Caesars and look out one of the windows and see if you can see it from the backside.
So crazy. You've got this grand. So for anybody that doesn't know, the race isn't for another 6 weeks. And right now, the Bellagio Fountains, and they have been for a couple weeks, are completely blocked off to the public because you have an F1 grandstand sitting on them. I'm sorry. I hate it. And I know a lot of people love F1. I'm not the biggest F1 fan, but I won't care what it was. It could be, I don't know what my favorite thing is. It could be UFC related. And I'm like, guys, we're shutting down the Bellagio Fountains for 2 months for this UFC event. Like that is stupid.
Super Bowl came here and they didn't even do that.
It was a week.
Yeah,
it was a week.
And even then, I think you could still see some. You could still see through it. You know, I mean it's. And one of the women that just infuriated me, and obviously it was like one of the spokesmen for the F1 or spokesman for the convention thing, was just like, well, obviously this is a tourist town, and F1 is huge in the international market, so this is for bringing international people.
Because I'm sure nobody had ever thought of like going to Las Vegas before.
Yeah. Like, we need the F1 to get international travel. It's like, no, stop that. You're
F1's
just ridiculous.
F1's visiting where? What's it called? What's it?
Los
Vegas.
Where? What state is that? Where is that?
We should consider going. I had never thought about going there, but if they do a race there, it must be a cool place.
It's so crazy. But what's funny is though, like, so they say it's to bring the international people here, but they still put it on at a time at night that caters to the international market. So why is the international people going to come here if they got to stay up to the middle of the fucking night to watch it?
International people came, like, I had jet lag and I was tired. I had to go to sleep. I couldn't watch it. It's so crazy.
It's so ridiculous.
Yes. All right. Enough.
But I mean, as for like the wrestling thing, I mean, it should be pretty exciting. But yeah, I mean, to see it. But yeah, for the Apex, man, it's coming along. But I keep hearing more and more timeline, like for when it's finished, people keep saying like, dude, it might take long time. So like what we were talking about, like November, whatever, some give me the vibe like there might be this initial round of construction will finish at some point, maybe April, maybe the mid, whatever, but then there's going to be further, because they make it sound like years, like 2020, like not this year. I'm wondering if they're talking about whatever they're planning in the behind the building,
WWE
another expansion. Maybe it's all part of it.
I'm just throwing it out there.
You never know. But, yeah, I mean, because they see some of these people come back, and now everybody's kind of giving the vibe like, oh, well, the timeline's sort of been changed or whatever. And I was like,
wow.
Like, what is causing it? You know, like, they're going guns blazing to get it set up in the front and get – I did hear different things like as for whether there was going to be a door towards the end of the building and where you're seeing the new wall come up so that the front – walkway. I heard two people that were contradicting. One said you would still go in there, and then I heard somebody else say no, the entrance would be further down the building where the box office is, and that front part would just particularly be staff and the Apex stuff.
That would
makes a lot of sense.
Like staff and media.
Yeah, like why send the fans in that one if you're just going to route them all the way down that hallway to go right there? Like, bring them into a side one. If there's a box office, make a door right there by the box office, which is halfway down, and allow the Apex and the actual staff and the UFC production area to be a separate entrance, so they're not having to like cross paths, and the security won't have to deal with them up there or whatever. So
we haven't talked about this a long time, but since they're doing all this expansion, I wish they would consider putting a physical Hall of Fame in the building. I think that would be cool. Like right now, the UFC Hall of Fame is just kind of a nebulous thought of it exists in the cloud. You know what I mean? But like an actual physical Hall of Fame, I think would be super cool.
I mean, if you're throwing mad money and you're building, I mean, especially when they got, you know, empty lots back there, why not?
I know I heard that in the past, like, it would be kind of a security nightmare, and that is true, but I don't know. I'd like to see it.
Putting a box office on your building and, like, you know, making it a venue is a nightmare. So what's – you're already going through it. You're already putting all the points in place to make it a an entertainment venue at that point. So that's what this museum would be. Like, make it just a hall, a wing.
Yeah.
You know, like – it could be an extra plus add-on to your ticket. You know, buy. I'm going to watch the show, but hey, for $10 extra, I got an extra pass to go into the Hall of Fame.
And then once you walk through the Hall of Fame, there's a merchandise room where you can buy merchandise. You know what I mean?
There it is.
I like it. Hey, real quick, we didn't talk about last weekend, but this one, I think I'm ready to throw in. I think Brandon Royval is my guy. I think that's my favorite fighter now. I think he is my favorite fighter on the roster. You know, Cowboy Cerrone was certainly my guy for years and years and years. Now, I will say this. It's always hard to say one. We know, you know, there's so many to watch. But, you know, people ask you, you do interviews and stuff like that, and oh, who's your favorite fighter? I used to hate saying, well, it's really difficult just to narrow it down to one because I enjoy watching so many fights, which is true. But so
that's
finally,
how they sound, too, when they say it.
100%. Right. So I finally just kind of went with Cowboy. Like, Cowboy's my guy.
Yeah.
And I have no problem supporting that one. Cowboy was my guy. I think Royval's my guy now. And he's been one of my guys for a while, but I think he's my guy now. What'd you think of the performance and the post fight and everything else of that?
I mean, I thought it was a good performance. I mean, I thought it was a very, very close fight, and I mean, I thought it could have went either particular way. I mean, like, I wasn't upset that Tyra didn't get it. I thought Tyra possibly could have got that nod, but Brandon looked good, man. I mean, and I think that comes on, you know, the fact that it's following the high speed chase down the streets the week before, prior, you know, trying to chase down a gunman. He's funny, man. His post fight interviews were always fun. He's got a character. He's got a hell of a fucking fun nickname. I mean, like, he's
my
a
guy.
Fun package.
I think that's my guy.
He's replaced the Cowboy, or he's just your current?
Current. I mean, Cowboy's retired.
I mean, well, is he?
Oh, dude.
Is he?
Okay, let me just say.
Dana certainly doesn't want to see him come back. I don't know if you paid attention to, like, what he said. I thought that was very sincere, and that came from a good place, what Dana was trying to say. Like, if it's about money,
I'll help you.
Let's figure something out, because let's do it now instead of 3 years down the road, three fights down the road. Like, if this is trying to be about money, let's figure out a way to get you that money as opposed to you hurting yourself doing this again and then having to do this again in 3 years. You know, like, let's solve the money thing now, but a different way. And I thought that was great. I mean, like, as much as Dana, you know, at times comes off as being very separate from some of these fighters, you know, it's hard to – I think it's just like us. We get very endeared with certain fighters, and I can only imagine it from his side.
48
being that close.
UFC walks.
Like,
48
this dude is, yeah,
UFC
I mean, like,
walks.
Cowboy has helped them out so much that I can't think that he absolutely loves Cowboy and wants the best for Cowboy. I don't think he wants to see Cowboy get hurt, and that's why when he says, like, let's figure something out, I genuinely feel that that's because he cares about him, and he's like, let's not do this and have to have this discussion later after you've taken more brain damage and you've taken more damage on your body.
Right.
And let alone those weight cuts were never fun and easy for Cowboy either. I mean, it's only going to get harder now because Cowboy's – he's yoked, man. He's big boy.
I saw him in North Dakota. Obviously, I got to spend a little time around him.
Yep.
There's no way he's making welterweight. Not even close.
No way.
So you're talking about, at a minimum, it's a middleweight fight.
And that's a hard cut. That would probably be a – because he's – all these fighters, they're fit. They'll maintain a higher level of fitness than most of us. But if you're not in the grind, like, that's tough.
Right.
And he's been enjoying himself, as he should be. You know, if it's the itch, you know, I think there's definitely other ways he can get his rocks off without going back and then taking physical damage. And if it is a monetary thing, work with Dane and them and figure something out. You know, there's definitely ways that they can – he can be used in some role for the UFC.
Oh, 100%.
And not have to do something. He could just 100%. Be a fucking spokesperson and go work at the PIs and do something, you know?
You should have seen the line to take pictures and autograph with
Cal.
I mean, he's so popular.
I can only
you
imagine.
Know what I mean? Now, I will say this. I know him and I talked, like, we we talked a little bit the night before, just getting caught up a little bit, and he was talking about, I know he works with this company called Transcend, and he was super high on it, right? He was talking about, like, peptides, and I mean,
yeah,
dude, like, he can break it down, like, not just like, oh yeah, man, I take this stuff and I don't know, man, they just shoot it and I feel better. Like, no, man, he is passionate about this stuff and, like, the belief of it. And, you know, so, you know, I wonder if maybe the, I mean, I know how much better he's feeling, and I do think that he would very much be in, like, the Dan Ige situation of, they were like, Cowboy, we need somebody at 205 to fight tonight. You know, can you go? Like, oh, he'd go. You know what I mean? Exactly, because it is that thrill, right? Like, yeah. You can't replace that thrill. But I'll be honest with you, man. That caught me by surprise. After talking to him not that long ago, it caught me by surprise because I didn't get the feeling that he wanted to go through a training camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know if
and that's the thing. Like, if you're just trying to take a fight and you don't want to do the work for it, like, don't put him in that position to, you know, because, yes, he can step in there. But we see, I guarantee sometimes we say this every time, but when the Diaz would hop in there and come out of nowhere and fight, well, we just know they train in the sense of they're out running, they're doing whatever. But half the time you're looking like, bro, he doesn't look like he did any sort of MMA training for this. He just came and was like, I'm going to do this. You tell Cowboy, are you ready to go in there and actually throw down? He's going to say yes, whether he's trained or not for it, you know? I mean, and that's, at some point, you just got to be like, you have to, you know, and it was interesting because we talked about, he brought up DC, brought, you know, we didn't talk about Tony, but I think it's along the same vein. At some point, you have to save the fighters from themselves because they are tough as nails. I mean, to do what they've done, and let alone how many times they've done it, there is no fear, even though Cowboy's the one guy that we've talked about over the years that used to just want to throw up on fight night, and he was literally like, I'm shitting my brains out. I'm afraid to go in there. But yet when the time comes, he goes and does it. He knows,
like,
here,
let's book the next one. Let's do it again.
You know, he knows there's going to be a decent paycheck, but if it's just about the itch, he could find his itch in some other safer matter where, you know, you're not taking and prolonging, like, because a lot of these fighters, when that CTE and the damage comes, it's later on it sets in. You don't see it immediately. Like, you could be suffering from it now, but you don't see the effects of it, and it's because it won't really pronounce itself till later on.
Yeah.
So why add on to that if it's probably more than likely already there, present, you know? And I don't think anybody wants to push that on these beloved fighters, but, and if it is just about money, if you have Dana that's saying, bro, let's sit down, let's talk, then you did what you needed to do. Maybe that was the play. Like, I'm just going to throw out, I need to fight because I need to figure something out. And if I say it the right way, maybe they'll come to bat with something. And if that's what it was, good for him, because I wish I had millionaire, billionaire buddies that I could say, like, dude.
Bro, we'll look out for you. Don't worry.
And then,
we'll
then
find
just
something.
Like, cool, we're good. You know, I mean, because he's done the work. He deserves it. He deserves it. And honestly, you could easily tell that those guys care about him. The Fertittas loved him as well.
Yep.
And it's not just a Dana thing. That whole organization loved Cowboy. And if it's about money, they'll figure out a way. Because I think all of us agree, like, he deserves it. Let him find some role with the UFC. But, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed all the fights I saw with Cowboy. I don't need to see him take another loss in there or something.
What if he came to – what if – I mean, it was your – you know, you're in the position of deciding whether he fights or not, and he comes to you and he's like, look, man, it's not even about the money. It's just that, like – this is my life's passion, and I need it one more time, man. I have to do this. There's some kind of closure that I'm seeking. I'm not happy with the way it ended last time out. Like, because that's the part I struggle with, right? Because everything you said is true about kind of looking out for these. They're too tough for their own good, right? You know what I mean? But I almost feel like on the flip side of that, like, they're grown men that have earned the right to do whatever they want in life. They don't need somebody to tell them they can or can't do something given what they've done. So, I mean, would there ever be a part of you that says, well, I'm not necessarily down for this, but you've absolutely earned the right to do whatever you want?
That's probably, to me, I would feel at this point, that's already happened.
Mm.
I guarantee you, at this point already, when it came to the last one, was probably already the point where they were like, Cowboy, we think you should probably stop. And he's like, this is what I'd love to do. And they're like, okay.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, do you honestly think that didn't happen already probably with Cowboy?
No, that's a good point. It
you
probably
know,
did.
I guarantee that, you know, at some point they were like, Cowboy, you know, like, we're going to do this because we love you and because you just literally asked that problem. And he probably said those same words to him, and I guarantee they gave him that. Then, but at some point, they're like, enough's enough. I guarantee all the fighters have done that. I mean, BJ Penn, everybody, I'm sure somebody, they've all said it at some point. Because I don't think it ever gets to a point where at least Dana, for the most part, and then we're just like, okay, I'm not going to take into account what they say. We're just done. He's lost enough, or he's taken enough damage. It's done. Because I guarantee once they sit in that room and talk, they say the same sort of things. This is what I was built for. This is what I love. Come on, man.
This is who I am.
Give me one more shot. Yep. Give me another shot. Let me try this. And then let me do this. And then if it's not so great, I'll walk away on my own. And they're like, okay, but you better not fucking backtrack.
Right.
If you say you're walking away, walk away. Don't come back here and say, like, I need to fight again.
Right.
Because we're doing this for you. Because at this point, I already feel like you should walk away. And I guarantee that's probably what some of these conversations have happened, you know?
You're spot on.
And, I mean, yes, for me, if I'd never had that conversation with you and you came at me and you're like, this is what I loved, I'd be like, all right, you're breaking my heart, but I agree with you. I'm going to give you that shot.
Right. But we got to agree as men.
Let's not have this talk again. Like, let's say this is it, because you're going to keep pulling it, and at some point somebody has to stand firm.
Yep.
You know, and it's tough because it's out of love, because obviously they know they can make money if he fights.
Hell yeah, people.
So it's like if they didn't care about him, they would say, yeah, Cowboy wants to fight, he'll fight. I'll fight until he's 60.
Right.
You know, because people are going to watch. But I think, you know, to their credit, you know, at some point, I think I believe that they care about him. I honestly think that they care about his well-being. And I think when Dana says, like, let's find something else, I think he's coming from a place of respect for Cowboy. Because if he didn't like him, he'd just be like, no, the guy's done.
Right.
He's done. Go find PFL.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not going to say anything like that, because they obviously love and respect him. And they, you know, he did them so many solids, so... I mean, he earned it, but I don't need to see Cowboy in there again. I would like to see him in some role, in some fashion. You know, heck, give Megan the day off and have Cowboy do that walk where, you know, he introduces the fighters as they're walking.
That'd be a one and done right there, bro. That would be a one and done.
You want a challenge, Cowboy? I got a challenge for you. How much of this can you remember, and can you set up this next fight?
Oh, man. I love Cowboy. He will forever be my favorite fighter. Yeah, man.
And he gave some of the best interviews ever. The most heartfelt, open, eye-opening interviews ever. I mean, I think anybody, if you go through some of the interviews, I'll never forget some of the shit he said, especially like his diving in the cave. I will never forget that.
Oh, my God.
For the rest of my life. Because I remember I was literally, I was like almost hyperventilating listening to him tell it. And I'll never forget that. And then some of the stuff he bared about just being afraid to get in there. I mean, he was one of the most honest and open fighters. And that's why I think everybody's endeared to the dude and just love the dude. Nobody wants to see him take more damage. I mean, if it's for money, please, let's just do a GoFundMe and just do something different.
He was showing me this thing he did. I thought this was so cool. This is completely unrelated to any of that, but just think about how smart of a businessman he is as well, which this is why I wonder what business play is involved in here. He was showing like a commercial that he shot for a boot company that he works with, right? Yeah. And he was showing me this thing, and I was like, dude, that's pretty good. He's like, dude, we shot all that. He's like, you know, we did all this. He's like, I bought cameras, and like, I've been filming around with me. And I was like, that's dope. I was like, so they like sent you a script? And he was like, no. He was like, they just partnered with me. And I was like, let's come. And so like, for his social media, instead of being like, I like these boots.
Yeah.
You should get these boots. He came up with the concept of like, they're playing poker and the dude doesn't have enough money to bet. You know, it's Wild West. And the dude doesn't have enough money to back his bet, you know, and they're like, what else you got? And he's like,
Got these boots.
Puts them on the table. And, you know, the dealer's like, well, that should just cover it right there. You know what I mean? And I was like, that's dope. I'm like, so you just partner with this company and they're just like, hey, we want to. And you just came up with a script, shot a commercial. And all. I was like, they got to be the happiest partners on earth. He's like, yeah, I don't know. It's fun. So
that's awesome.
I wonder if maybe there's like a business play here or something along with that. You know what I mean? Because he's a smart dude when it comes to marketing.
That's what he put a bargaining chip out there for Dana, and Dana bit.
Got you, son.
He's like,
got you.
He's like,
what's that? Guys, we can talk. Don't worry about the money. Got you.
He's like, guys, I've been doing these motherfuckers for 40 years. I know what's up. And like, he's like, I knew.
So, calling the bluff on that one. I'm all like, in right here.
Dana, I want to get that 50 fights, man. I want to, or.
You know what you could do? I'm too short. If we look at what my salary was for 48, why don't you just pay me for 49 and 50, and I'll feel like I made the walk.
That would be nice.
That is amazing, man. All right, listen, like I said, a lot of talk will be on PFL this week. I do want to get some quick thoughts on that before we get out of here. But I did want to ask you about the UFC. You were there at Media Day today. I will say, again, I know all the focus mainly is going to be on the PFL, and rightfully so. Yep. It is the bigger card. There's no question about it. But I will say this. Anthony Hernandez versus Michelle Pajeda I find incredibly interesting and intriguing. Yep. I think stylistically it's a good matchup, and also it's meaningful in terms of where those two guys go. They're both on nice win streaks. They're both, I mean, it's a big fight for both of them, main events. It's big. The co-main event, Rob Font and Kyler Phillips, kind of that crossroads, right? Like, Rob's that guy that's been around for a long time, trying to prove he still belongs at the elite level. Meanwhile, Kyler's kind of the new name on the rankings, on the scene, that's trying to prove that he's on his way up. Like I said, check out UFC Unfiltered. Had a really good interview with him today, and Matt Serra. Check that out.
I found out he's not an anime fan. Today.
I saw that. I was watching your interview. He's like, no, not really.
Because he talked about some leveling. I was like, oh, man, I bet he, if he likes some leveling, there's this anime thing. And he was like, no, very, very.
Surprised you didn't hit him with a, sir, you're a new Jun Young Park. Or, you know, get out of here.
I was like, I'm just going to let him go. I was like, whatever.
You're like, have you won? You're like, oh.
No, never mind.
But that's good. Charles Johnson, Sumedarji, could be a lot of fun.
Yep.
I did talk to Darren Elkins as well today. He's fighting Daniel Pineda.
That's going to be fun.
And like I told Darren Elkins, like I told Matt Serra, I mean, you know at this point the reputation. If Darren Elkins on a card, you know it's going to be good. But then you got Daniel Pineda, who is a proven finisher as well. So
somebody's going to take some damage in that fight.
Somebody's taking some damage. Yeah. Bro, Darren Elkins. So Matt Serra asked him about his tattoo, and he was like, I mean, like any regrets? He's like, no. He's like, I like it. He's like, you know, this is who I am. This is my style. Maybe I'm a little different than everybody else. I like it. He's like, maybe my wife doesn't like it when I'm on top of her. I lost it, dude.
That's funny.
I was like, Darren.
Taking that damage.
Oh,
look, the damage is coming this way. It's going out this time.
I was cracking up. I was like, Darren.
That's funny. It
cracked me up. I literally lost my shit on the UFC.
That's pretty funny. I think I'd lose it, too.
But overall, dude, this card. I think it's a fun card, man.
Yeah, I mean, top to bottom, it really is a good card. I mean, looking at the prelims, there's some good fights.
First of all,
the very first fights actually should be a banger as well.
Austin Lane, Robles Despaña should be insane. Austin Lane is always a good dude to us, man. He always says hello and wants us to come have a couple frosty beverages with him in Jacksonville. He represents Duval, but Robles is a monster. I hate when we get the cross. This is the extended CFSC family matchup, but we got Jessica Penne, who was commentating for us for a while, right? And Elise Reed, who was a former champion.
I was going to say she was a champ.
So Jessica Penne is like done for a while. She comes back and they put her up against I'm like, are you serious?
That's a tough match.
There's nobody else to get
there.
So I'm a little, I'll be intrigued by watching that one, but it's wild. I actually had to go back and look because I figured we'll talk about it on the broadcast this weekend, but I thought Jessica Penne, because they were in the organization around the same time, so I thought Jessica Penne might have actually commentated one of Elise's fights, but I think they missed each other by like one event. I thought that would be kind of weird, like I'm commentating on you on the regional scene, and now we're fighting each other in the UFC. Like that would be pretty intriguing, but I think they missed each other by like one event.
Yeah, I mean, but it's going to be a good card. I mean, it's tough to stack up against that main and co-main over there at the PFL, but I mean, it's a solid card. I mean, it is a good card. It's going to be a good card.
All right, so PFL, obviously, we'll allow the folks that are over in Riyadh to break down everything that's happening over there. They'll do a much better job of it. They're seeing everybody. They're talking to everybody. But I guess just your overall thoughts. I mean, you're going to be working on Saturday, but will you kind of log on early?
I'm going to log on early for sure. Obviously, even just getting to the main card, I mean, obviously everybody's wondering about the main event and how that's going to go. I'm super excited to see if Pacheco's going to live up to what I think she can do against Cyborg.
I think
most people on our staff pick Cyborg. I think I'm one of the only ones that sort of picked Pacheco. I believe in her strength. I believe in her power. And I think if you're able to beat Kayla Harrison, I really put a lot of high stock in you.
I do too.
I'm really surprised. Surprised that a lot of more people on our staff did not pick her.
Cyborg, I mean, listen, and I have all the respect for Cyborg in
who
the world.
Doesn't?
But at some point, everybody reaches the plateau, right? And you're no longer on the way up. You're no longer maintaining. Now you're starting to drop a little bit. And you don't even have to drop that much if you're talking about somebody that's coming up like there was Pacheco. So I'm torn on this one too because I do believe, I mean, Cyborg just – whether you consider her number one greatest of all time, number two greatest of all time, I mean, you have to consider her right there. And just the highlight reel that she put together is the greatest highlight reel of all time in women's MMA.
Hands down.
So she's a nice person. So I'm not saying, I can't. But this is a dangerous fight.
It's really dangerous. I mean, if it was anybody but Pacheco, I probably would lean towards Cyborg's way. But just because it's her, I'm like, dude, it'd be silly not to. I mean, but whatever.
Boy, every time I see LaRissa in person, because she comes out here a lot. Yep. She trains at Alex Davis's. She's getting in better and better shape.
Yep.
Like, just looks more lean She's and more muscular.
Lean. That's exactly it. I saw her not too long ago when Schmo did that thing at that head shop place.
Planet 13.
That Planet 13 place. She was there in the crowd, and I was like, dude, she's fit.
Yeah.
Like, she's fit. Before, not that she was ever, like, sort of soft, but it looked like she was just, like, overall fit, like, was just strong.
Yeah,
and I was
where
like,
she used to be a little bit, like, I mean, strong, but strong. Not leaned out ripped.
Yeah.
Like, she's ripped now.
Like, she's carrying it really, really well. I mean, I think she's full on invested in where she's at and believes that she can take on anybody. Because I think she wants to, I mean, who knows? I think she also realized that maybe the PFL isn't going to be the end-all, be-all, so you need to be at a level that, say, something happens and she wants to jump ship, maybe go to the UFC or something, chase after that Kayla, chase after those paychecks, you know. You got to be on another level.
Cool full circle that would be, right? Because, I mean, she came to the UFC as a teenager. I mean, she was not ready at all. And she got insane competition out the gate. So what a cool scenario that would be to see her go. Not that I want to see her leave PFL Bellator.
Yeah, but I mean, like, PFL by no means is the end of the road, like as we've seen before. I mean, now we've seen people make their way over there. Now we've seen the people make their way from there back over to the UFC. So, I mean, who knows? Who knows? And it's not like the UFC would be upset and like, oh, I don't want anyone to look at Pacheco because she's over there at the PFL. Like,
no.
They're not dumb like that. If you're a banger and you bring a good fight, and let alone the storyline of, say, Kayla gets the title here and she starts smashing the women in the UFC to bring over the person that beat her. I mean, it writes itself.
Oh my
you
God.
Know?
You know what's so funny is because I have been I've been talking about this. I'm saying, hey, because obviously I'm a huge Kayla Harrison fan.
Yeah.
I love Kayla Harrison. And I've been saying, boy, if Kayla could beat Juliana, because we said going in, no disrespect to Rocky, but Juliana would be the bigger fight because they would talk a lot. And they would sell. If she could beat Juliana, that would be massive. And if Amanda comes out of retirement and she beats Amanda, I kept saying to myself, in fact, I even asked her this, and I was like, you're done at that point, right? Like, what else would there be for you to do? LaRissa comes back over.
Yep.
That's what you do next.
Yep.
Now, I got one more wrong to right. You know,
she would sell
it, too. You know what I mean? I got one more. She's got to come over. I got one little thing out there. Because if you did that, if you came to the UFC, had that little run, beat those three in a row, I mean.
Let's be real. If she beats Cyborg, what's left for her there?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
No disrespect. And again,
because Kayla was one of the ones that was like the challenge for her there, and now that's gone. I mean,
maybe Don Davis could promote propose a co-promoted event.
You know, they're so buddy buddy between those two organizations.
I love Don, but he's just not going to let that go, right? Yeah. Like, hey, we could propose this 4-man tournament. We can. I'm like, come on.
No, this ain't rising.
But that's why it's funny because like. Pete, you know, they like to play, I don't want to say good cop, bad cop, right?
Yeah.
But like Don just goes out there and stirs the pot and is controversial.
He's the dreamer.
Yeah. Right. And then Pete will come back and be a little bit more, well,
let's bring this back
to
reality.
Yeah, we respect what they're doing over there, but we're chasing our own path over here. We're doing these things, but it is funny.
It should be interesting. But even looking, going down the card, the Johnny Eblen, Fabian Edwards, that's a fun fight. I think Eblen is hands down one of the best middleweights in the world.
No
question. I think if people don't already agree with that and just look and say, oh, well, you know, Bellator, blah, 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 like, bro, that's just silly. That's
Eblen
just silly.
Minus 425 over Fabian Edwards. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he's that good.
I mean,
Fabian's good too, so I'm surprised I see, like, the line that big, you know?
Yeah.
That's incredible. All right, so main event, who'd you pick?
I picked Francis.
Did you?
Yeah.
Feeling 100% in it?
No.
Yeah.
No. But I went towards him because I think when it comes down, like what he's been able to do, the last couple times that we did see him in MMA, his skill set when he was focused on it, he brought it to another level. When he first fought Tyson Fury, he took it to another level. Obviously, the Anthony Joshua fight didn't go his route. But I think with him coming back on this, I think he understands this splash back into MMA, like how bad it will look if he doesn't perform well because he spent so much time in the boxing space, that I just have to trust that with that team that he has with him that he's going to go 100%. And we know how strong and what a specimen he is, that when he's focused, when he's focused and he works 100, I don't think there's anybody that can beat him. But, I mean, who knows? If Hennen and his team have, you know, prepared for this like it, their life's dependent upon it. You never can tell because Hennen is a scary dude, man. It only takes one punch, but, you know, I don't think, you know, because I went back and forth on this.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously like the one punch power. I don't feel like Francis's chin is compromised now because we've seen him get knocked out. I don't think it's a one and done.
Right.
But I can see where some people are like, well, now he's been knocked out. Now that the tap is open. You know, like the tap's been open. Now it can go, it can happen again. I don't think it's as easy as that because, again, this isn't boxing. There's other weapons that can be employed should he get into a place where he might be compromised and that, you know, he has other avenues to protect himself.
Right.
That don't present themselves in boxing.
Because he can clinch, he can shoot.
He can clinch, he can shoot, yep. He can move around.
Right.
And
whereas in boxing, you're forced to just put your hands up.
You're forced. And if you get a little tired and your chin's out there, it's out there and you're done for it. You know, I think there's
But let me counter with this, too. With those two dudes, I think they could both be at 100% chin, and it's just they're both massive. You know what I mean? Like, they're both two huge dudes.
But at least with this one, I think it might start squared up, but, I mean, it could easily, you know, they're going to throw a kick to try to throw somebody off. You know, we're going to see different other things. And I haven't seen as much from Hennen when it comes to, like, employing the leg kicks to do stuff. It's usually like his hands, and it's usually just bringing himself. Francis, we know, can throw a leg kick. And I envision that probably the first throw that's going to be out there is probably just like a leg kick just to see, like, how heavy they're leaning
better
on their
not
feet
be lazy.
And stuff like that. I better not be a lazy one. You throw a lazy leg kick, you're going to get your ass knocked down, Francis. But, yeah, I mean, I picked it, but am I willing to bet everything I have on it? No.
Yeah. It's
because it is an MMA fight. But I think we've seen him step up in the right moments, and I think this is another moment where we'll see him step up. And not that I care either way, but I think he'll step up and prove yet again that, you know, you get these, you like, Hennen's coming as like the next biggest boogeyman. Like, people look at him, they're just like, oh my God, how can anybody go in there? And when you see those two opposite, they're just ginormous. Remember Jake Paul squared him up?
Yeah.
Jake's not a small dude.
He's a big dude.
He looked miniature compared to those guys. And I'm like, oh my God, these guys are so big. I'm trusting in the fact and knowing his team that he's done the work and he'll step up on this. And I don't know Hennen's team as well as Francis's team, so I'm going to go with the overall team that I know better, whether that's biased
Vegas,
or not.
Vegas.
It's Vegas, baby.
It's tough, man. I have been feeling since this fight was first announced that this is a more dangerous fight than I think a lot of people want to give credit for Francis. And you know me, man. I like stories. You know what I mean? That's why I wanted to be a writer and stuff. Is I like telling stories and stuff. And I kind of think about from a story perspective what would be cooler. And like, you know, part of it is like Hennen is this guy that everybody's counted out and nobody's. Yeah. And he had this amazing run. And you know, he thought he had the fight 2 years ago. And then he had to come back and fight Ryan Bader. And you know, that would be amazing. But gosh, man, you think about what Francis has already been through. And I think about that sometimes too, where it's like people whose legacy is always secure or already secure are kind of like the other guy or girl to get a win just so that like they can change their life or whatever. But I mean, how do you not cheer for Francis Ngannou, man? I mean, knowing what he's dealing with personally, knowing who the man he is and what he's gone through to get here, you know, both in his early life and his current life.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. So I'm intrigued by this fight, and I think it's a dangerous one either way. So
yeah.
I'm actually, that turns out. I'll tell you the other one. I happened to look. I hadn't looked at the betting lines until we sat down here. Paul Hughes and AJ McKee. I was a little surprised with that matchmaking when it was first announced. Everybody knows how high the prospects are for Paul Hughes, but I think a lot of people like me were like, "Bro, you're throwing him to AJ McKee already?" But I tell you what, the betting lines. -175 for AJ McKee, +145 for Paul Hughes. So not that far off.
Yeah, it's pretty even.
People giving him a lot of respect, and it looks like, and looking at it, man, bet down quite a bit. Like AJ McKee opened at -275, which is where I kind of would have thought he would be, just based on experience and reputation alone. But that money is coming in on Paul Hughes, and a lot of people saying, "Hey, that might not have been an accurate assessment." So that's a good fight, man. They threw Paul Hughes to the wolves for real. But if he is the guy that a lot of people think he can be, boy, taking out AJ McKee this early in your career,
That'd be huge.
That'd be huge. But Pacheco is the favorite over Cyborg as well. Very slight, but she is the favorite.
Man. It's a fun card.
I like it.
It's a fun card. It's gonna be a good weekend. I mean, I'm enjoying them, but yeah, I can't remember. I'm not sure what our check in, but yeah, I will have the card open earlier. In fact, MMA Junkie Radio, the boys are doing a watch along for the is it the prelims? Yeah, doing a watch along for the prelims. PFL actually reached out and they're gonna actually shoot the footage and so we'll be able to have like the footage and the guys will be watching along with it.
Nice. Yeah, so they're cool. like talking heads over it basically, or like box in box, maybe
box in box type thing. I think is how it's gonna be.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Nice.
So not as elaborate as like what the Uncrowned is getting to do with it. You know, I think they're doing the main card.
Right.
We're doing the prelim card and stuff like that. But it's still,
I like it, man. Thinking outside the box, doing something a little bit different, right?
You got it.
You can't do the same thing as the UFC. Yep. You just can't. You got to do something different. So
yeah, and selfishly, I'm excited because it's something new for our guys to get to do as well.
Are you going to be involved in trying to execute it? Or no, because since
I'll be on Fight Night, all I have to do is I set up the shells and set up everything. So I work with the guys to make sure. So I set up, so once they start pushing it, it'll go live, and then they reach out to me after to make sure that the stream is good, and then I enable it so that when they turn it off, it'll turn itself off auto.
Nice.
Because when we first did one of these watch-alongs with them, the stream was a little iffy. It stopped seeing data, and if you set it to auto-stop, it'll shut the stream off and
right.
It's done.
And then you have to restart a new link.
But you'd have to reset it. Yeah, a new link. So it was just like, so we didn't do it. I was just like, hey, I'm just going to do it manually. Just let me know. But what sucked is because I was on site for my own event when it was going on, but trying to monitor their little thing. So luckily, same with this, I'll be on my own site doing the other thing, but I'll be around that if I need to just sort of manipulate the feed in some sort. But for the most part, it's getting pushed from another group. The PFL's pushing to Panda. Panda's pushing it to our YouTube channel.
It's fun. Yeah.
The Radio guys, I love it that they're getting some more shine. And they actually get a pretty decent turnout for these things. So
yeah.
So if you guys are looking for some watch-along sort of like for the prelims for the PFL event, go to the Junkie YouTube and you guys can watch along with the Radio boys.
I think I'll be
they
on a plane.
They would get a kick if you could chat with them.
I think I'll be on a plane on the way home. You know what I mean? But But maybe if I could pull if the stream will hold up on the plane,
if it'll hold up,
if it'll hold up on the plane, maybe I'll pull it up and watch it that way because I definitely want to watch the card as well. Yeah. So, I'd like to haven't seen those guys. George texted me not that long ago that we should get together and have a beer. I haven't seen him in a long time, so we'll have to do that, man. That's cool. Hey, look, it's fun doing new stuff, man. Like it's one of the things I love when I'm doing CFSC, like doing so much more of the production side in addition to just the commentary side of it as well. It's like really, really enjoying it. We're about to start college wrestling season, so I'm deep in production planning for that one, which is great. So if you haven't given NCAA Division I college wrestling a try, give it. Pretty cool. October 31st, the very first collegiate wrestling meet of the whole year. The season doesn't open until the next day. We get to kick it off on USC Fight Pass October 31st.
So that's awesome.
I'm looking forward to it. So a lot of cool stuff going on. All right, listen, I got to run. I got to go finish packing, and I got a really, really early flight to Philadelphia tomorrow. And
fun.
I love 7 a.m., head on out there, weigh-ins, fights. Nothing I'd rather do. Had a great time at Tough Enough. There was a really good show. If you didn't happen to see Tough Enough last weekend on UFC Fight Pass as well, actually check that out. UFC Fight Pass, the Tough Enough card this past week was actually really good at the Virgin Theater.
Is that
so.
One the and we're back? No, that was
the and then we're back. No, that was that one. Yeah, that was so. It was so funny that you texted me that cracked me up because. Basically, what happened was
we're back.
They were like, we're going to go to commercial after every round. I was like, all right, cool. And then there was one round. I was like, all right, stick with us. We'll be right back. And they were like, we don't have a commercial. I'm just like, and we're back.
But then I want to say it happened twice.
It happened twice.
And I was just laughing. So I texted Morgan. I was like, and we're back.
The second time I was like, just stick around. We might be back sooner than you think. You never know.
I tried logging on. I forgot that. I was trying to log on early enough to watch the UFC security guy Noah fight, but I guess it didn't make the broadcast. Maybe
no, it was on. It is on YouTube if you haven't seen. I don't know if it streamed live or if they put it out afterwards. But no, it was not on.
Yeah,
Fight Pass.
But I did get to see Juan fight, so I was super stoked. Dude,
what a performance
he looked
that
was! So dominant. I sent him a message. I was like, brother. Fucking what a dominant performance, man. It was so good. And I loved seeing the emotion after the fact, man. Like
I got him his interview, by the way. They weren't going to interview him.
Really?
Justin Bernard. Justin Bernard. I was like, hey, you know, he was doing the thing, and I was trying to get his attention. Yeah. Going to interview him? Going to interview like this? And he was like, yeah, should I interview? Like, yeah, go interview him. So I was proud to make that call.
Yeah, because he gave a great shout-out after it stuff. But, yeah, just seeing the motion, because knowing what that meant to him, I was like, I was so happy for him.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was cool, man. I was glad to see him.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I think people forget that, you know, I think for a long time we used to just associate Tough Enough with being amateur fights. But
not anymore.
It's pros, baby. Pros. There are some amateurs, but it's primarily pros, and it's good pros.
Yep.
And it gets a lot of Vegas guys get good action on it and stuff. So I love it. I love it.
I did too. And look, it was a great organization when it was just an amateur organization, yeah. Right? They were always the highest level.
They treated it like it was a pro.
They treated it like a pro.
They treated like it was pro. So, I mean, it was great.
But they're doing a great job over there. Actually, Mark Smith deserves some production credit as well. The referee, Capital, I don't know if you saw that, he retired. And I guess he was trying to leave out of the cage, and Mark Smith actually grabbed him to, like, bring him back in so we could talk to him real quick. I was like, thank you, Mark. I was like, you know how this sport works. Appreciate you,
that's
man.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's all team effort over there.
Yeah.
It's all team
effort. It's not like it's the hugest organization, too, so, like, everybody just takes a bit of ownership themselves,
dude,
which is kind of cool.
It's actually really funny. Like, I mean, I guess you could count me in it, right? Like, I started working for them in 2008 when I moved out here in Las Vegas, right? I had done some commentary at that point, but I hadn't done a lot. Like,
yeah.
I had worked out at Tachi Palace a little bit. I had done M1. So I hadn't done a lot. So I started working with them. Justin Menard was the ring announcer. You know what I mean? Now he's, and I was joking during the broadcast. You know, I've seen this dude like four times this week.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing Contender Series. He's doing Power Slap. He's doing the Fight Pass Invitational. Mark Smith and Chris Tione, they were both judges coming up. Junichiro Camijo was a judge that was coming up. Like all these, like not just fighters that came up through Tough Enough. It's like all these other people around.
Yeah.
Like we all kind of came up through Tough Enough too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's cool when you think it like that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. So anyway, all right. This week though, it's CFFC out on Friday in Philadelphia. So make sure you tune in to UFC Fight Pass. My man Punk will be back, and then of course on Saturday you will have the PFL, and you'll have UFC.
So much fights.
All
morning fights.
All the fights in the
so
world.
So fun.
I do like the morning fights. And then, the following week, it's morning fights again. I love morning fights.
Yeah.
I love that. So, all right, listen. And, of course, after all that unfolds, we'll be over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow for the and a half episodes. Appreciate everybody that supports us over there. Really do always thank you
for
that.
Better get signed up over there so you can find out when we're going to do that live show next week.
We're going to do the live show. Hopefully you'll be around. Hopefully, you know, it may just be me and Cole Coffee by ourselves. But if anybody happens to be around, you'll basically get a private show.
Yeah, we'll get a private show.
Wait, not like that. I don't want to say that. That sounded terrible.
We'll dance for you. No, I mean, but if people hop on and actually see, you know, maybe we'll turn it into like an ask me anything or ask me a few things thing. Ask me some things.
You
I might
can ask
answer
me anything.
Things.
I will answer some of them. I'm trying to stay married. Trying to stay married. All right.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Ask us something. We might answer.
Now, luckily my wife's pretty understandable. She's like, let me guess, while you were gone, you went out and got drunk and smoked a cigar. Like, yeah.
Yep.
That's pretty much it.
That's it.
Luckily, she gets me. All right. Anyway, forget all that. I got to go get packed up. You guys have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.